Dave and Darren in the Top 5 Things podcast. It's aloft now. We've made it off the ground, and here we are in your...
We've turned the no smoking signs on.
Well, no, go ahead and smoke.
Or the no smoking signs off.
So, no smoking sign off means you could smoke.
Yeah.
Rajiv.
Okay.
Smoke.
If you got any...
Like smoky.
People about going crazy. This is the Top 5 Things. It's a review of what we got done on our morning show, which you can hear weekday mornings on Planet 93.9. I feel like everybody's aware of what this gimmick is,
don't
right?
Don't take that for granted.
All right, well, we start here with number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Story here of a DoorDash customer that got more than they bargained for. An unwanted side in the order. It was a bag of dope, man.
What?
Like a gram, man. Look at all, look at these.
Gram, man, like gram of dope.
Look at these nugs right there.
Nice.
That's something else.
Why do you bring that to anybody's attention?
That's what I don't get. Stunned DoorDash customer got more than he bargained for when he found an unwanted side of marijuana in his bag. Reefers.
That marijuana makes you lazy.
This guy said he was scarred from the incident.
What?
The customer spoke to the news but wanted to remain anonymous. He says he found the unwanted hash at the bottom of his bag next to a plastic fork when he placed a DoorDash delivery last week. Speaking of the incident, he says, quote, "I was scared at first, but then again, I wasn't very surprised." I would be incredibly surprised if there was marijuana in my DoorDash.
I think I
might be beyond surprised.
Watching TV the other day.
Yeah?
And there was like a graham cracker commercial on.
Graham?
And I was just, that's what I did. I just
graham, man, like graham a dip.
Graham. Graham cracker.
What? Graham? This happened in Columbus, Ohio. He took a picture.
College town.
Of a photo at the bottom of his bag where he found the fork and the bag filled with marijuana. He says, did this start with the driver or does this start with the restaurant that I ordered this from? According to a Columbus Division of Police spokesperson, authorities are working to find out more information from all of those involved.
They got legal marijuana in Ohio?
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
No, I doubt it. Ohio's... you can keep it. No thanks.
I was upset and didn't know what to do at first. Didn't know who to reach out to.
Take that, Drew Carey.
Good God.
What do you mean you don't know what to do?
I don't know what to do with this. What am I supposed to... I'm so scared. Oh, dear God, they gave me marijuana. What am I supposed to do? You know who this guy is? This is the guy who on Friday was raising his hand going, "Teacher, you forgot to give us our homework." This is what happens when that kid grows up.
And then
up.
Looks around and smiles at everyone.
Good thing we can learn on the weekend.
I was upset and didn't know what to do at first. Didn't know who to reach out to.
Who do I even turn to in this dark hour? I got free marijuana delivered with my DoorDash.
Where is Big Bamboo when you need him?
Somebody hold me!
A food delivery messed up. Some greens with his order lead him to call us and police. That plant life in his bag was not a salad or a side of collards. It was pot.
After that, calls to DoorDash, the police.
Pot. It was what they call, colloquially,
not collards.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male and the other two.
Well,
it was neither a salad or my grandma's collards.
And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
Yeah, that's what they call it here in our beautiful Columbus, Ohio. Can you imagine?
And us. Isabel Hansen joins us now with a story you'll only see here on Fox 28. Isabel, this was certainly an unexpected surprise.
Isabel, you found the biggest nerd in Columbus. Tell us more. Isabel has a look on her face like...
I'm partial to the Wolverines.
Yes, Bob and Stacia, it's usually a nice surprise when you find something extra in your food bag.
I like where she's going. It's usually nice when you find a bunch of dope.
Now, instead of thinking about good customer service, one man tells me he's worrying about people's safety.
You know, I was scared at first, but I wasn't very surprised.
A fork and a side of marijuana. One man found more than he ordered at the bottom of his bag delivered by a DoorDash driver.
Did this start with the driver or did this start in the restaurant that I ordered it from? Which makes me question, it's like, where are these drugs coming from?
Well, and let me ask you this, am I going to hell as a result of this?
Look who's smoking Mother Nature.
Columbus police tell me they do not know the answer to those questions yet. The man involved says the driver came back asking for the pot.
He would give me my money back and refund me my order if I gave him my entire bag back.
Yeah, and?
Because he claimed that there was medicine in the bag for his friend that was to be used for medical reasons.
And what'd you tell him?
I told him, no, sir, I can't give it back.
This is a matter for the police to sort out. And I'm going right to ABC6 with this story.
Hey, man, there was something in that bag. I realize now this should not have been. Could you just be cool and give that back to me?
No.
He called police and submitted a complaint to DoorDash. DoorDash sent him this email saying, quote, "We do not condone this type of action and have therefore taken this step in removing them from our platform. This Dasher will no longer be able to deliver future orders."
Well, that's all I wanted was for this guy to get fired.
It's scary because I'm a healthcare worker and I see how this affects people every day. I even had a close friend whose nephew passed away due to smoking some marijuana that was laced by fentanyl.
And he worries what could have happened if this order ended up in the wrong hands.
I think about little kids. I have a nephew. I think about my coworkers, his granddaughters and grandsons.
Now he's feeling hesitant.
I don't want any children overdosing on pot.
About ordering dinner to be delivered again.
I really feel like I question everything now.
Of course you do.
You question everything.
I don't know if I can trust in anything. This has shattered my worldview, as you can imagine, Elizabeth. I don't know what the H-E double hockey sticks to do.
And I just want certain companies like DoorDash or Grubhub or others, I just want to question.
Sue them all. Punitive damages.
Go get your own food from now on, okay?
Nerd.
Know what kind of background checks they're taking for their employees, and do they really know the people who are working for them?
DoorDash reports the company does run both motor vehicle and criminal background checks on all its drivers. A DoorDash spokesperson confirmed the involved driver does not work for the company anymore. Columbus police tell me it's the first time they've heard of someone discovering drugs in their delivered food bag. Live on your side, Isabel Hansen, Fox 28 News.
And we have a comment here from a press conference. We have the driver who had this to say.
I'm going to smoke a lot of weed tonight.
Woo! You did it. You did it. What's the matter?
Smoke weed every day.
I want these people to be aware that I'm ever vigilant.
Wow.
My value system has been shattered.
I don't know what's real anymore. I've know several people who have overdosed from smoking this weed, and I'm not on my watch.
Do I dare believe my eyes?
Biggest dope in the story.
Number two.
Interesting subreddit here from people who are warning about if you're getting a job.
Yes.
These are red flags to watch out for in a job interview.
Time to bail.
Yeah. Have you ever talked to someone about a gig and something didn't smell right?
I had years, a million years ago, I was looking to get a job at a radio station in Memphis. There was a station there that was hiring. And I, at the time, I didn't know anyone here. I was looking to get out. And I was talking on the phone with the program director down there, and things were going great. And I thought, oh, this will be cool. I'll live in Memphis for a while. That could be fun. And everything was going great. Like, I had the gig. And at the end of the phone call, I asked what I thought was a pretty innocuous question.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the guy who I'm replacing?
Yes.
Because I'm thinking at the time, I'm very young in the industry, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll go to Memphis for a while, and then maybe I'll go to a bigger market after that. Keep in mind, I never left here. But at the time, I'm thinking maybe the guy who left went to a much bigger market. Maybe Memphis is a springboard.
Could be.
And I asked this guy in Memphis, the guy I'm replacing, what happened to him. And this guy just starts screaming at me.
Mm.
And he's like, he had a nervous breakdown. Is that what you want to hear? Okay. Like, he had to move to Montana to figure some stuff out after a nervous breakdown. Is that what you want to know? I'm like, okay, well, this is not...
Why did he have a nervous breakdown, if you don't mind me asking?
Right. It was evident to me why the guy had the nervous breakdown, and that was the end of me pursuing a gig outside of, the Quad Cities for a time.
So, Graceland Radio!
Yeah, what are you talking about? All right, man, I dig your stuff. We liked your tape. You seem like you know the music, man. We're going to get you down here, and we'll have somebody from payroll give you a call. Any other questions? Well, yeah, just real quick, what happened to the guy who I'm replacing? He had a nervous breakdown, all right? Is that what you want to hear?
I drove him to madness.
He had to move to Montana to figure out some stuff. Like, okay, well, this is not happening. That was a red flag. Uh-huh. I would have left my job here. I would have gone down to Memphis, and probably after a couple of weeks, I would have been going out of my mind trying to figure out how do I get out of Memphis.
Elvis is everywhere.
That reminds me, today's the anniversary of his passing.
What?
Yeah, it's August 16th, buddy.
Oh, man.
I know. We got to queue up some.
Oh, my
some
God.
Of the
Are
king.
You telling me it's been 45 years?
Oh, that's right. Elvis died on this date 45 years ago.
Wow.
Yes. I'll cue up the audio that we play every year, because he is not strung out.
No.
That is damn.
I wish they'd have put they did kind of put a little bit of it. I wish this would have been in the Elvis movie.
Oh, he doesn't do the thing about pull your tongue out by the root?
No, but he does kind of go off on Colonel Parker during one performance.
Does he ever talk about the freaks that touch your luggage?
No, unfortunately.
All right, we'll get to the king on this, the anniversary of his death, but just a couple of red flags. They say, and these are people who've been burnt, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes like a red flag will go off, whether it's a job or a relationship, and you kind of look the other way because you want it so
maybe
bad.
Maybe that's a little bit of an outlier there.
Don't do that. They say if you need to buy something in order to get the job,
okay,
that's a red flag.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty obvious one.
You need to buy something to start your training, or you have to pay for classes, or you sign a contract that will charge you for training if you don't work there for so many years.
Yeah, no.
Non-compete clause to force you into a different line of work if you leave. Those kind of contracts have been outlawed a lot of places, but you just never know. Another red flag when you're interviewing for a job is if they tell you...
What's your credit card number?
If they use the phrase during the interview, you'll wear a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm.
You'll wear a lot of hats is their very clever way of saying, we're going to make you do the work of 2 to 3 people, but pay you to be one person. That's how that... Wear a lot of hats just means you're going to have more work than you know what to do with. Also, they say a real red flag in a job interview is if they say, work hard, play hard.
Never seen you do either.
Work hard, play hard is code for long hours and no life balance. Another red flag is if they seem a little too eager to hire you. if you they hire you on the spot in the first interview with no follow-up,
yeah,
that means they will hire anyone. And they probably have a high turnover rate because the job's just not worth the money that they're paying. If you are, here's one. It says, I went to an interview for an assisted living place. The manager didn't ask me a single question. Just described the job and the shifts I would work and said, you're hired if you want it. I had zero experience with that kind of job. I had worked at a gas station my whole life, and all of a sudden, yeah, I'm on my own taking care of dementia patients.
It's the same thing.
It's not. If you get chastised for asking work-life balance questions, that's a red flag. If they describe the job, if the job they describe is different from the one that they advertised, that's a red flag. Or if the salary offered is different from the one that they advertised. Like they'll say, we had this story not that long ago where somebody went for a job interview because it was advertised that, let's say, it paid 50 grand a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, no, it's 35 grand a year. And the candidate said, but it's advertised at 50 grand. And the interviewer said, well, yeah, if we told people it was 35, no one would want the job.
Okay.
Well, I don't want the job then. Not doing that. If they tell you do not discuss your compensation with people that work here, that's a red flag. Don't talk about your salary with coworkers. Or if they ask you during the interview, what's the lowest salary you'd be willing to work for? Wow. I walked out of an interview and I was told guaranteed minimum is $10.50 for a first timer with no experience. Then in the interview, they said, the best we can offer you right now is $8. For my 11 and a half years experience in this exact type of work, I said, thanks for the interview, but I'm not 17. I know my worth and I got a family I got to think about. Good for you. You know who else thought about his family? King of Rock and Roll.
That's right.
John just came back from New York. We had a meeting of this. I have been a member of this organization for 5 years. The International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association, in recognition of the outstanding loyalty and contribution to the support of narcotic law enforcement, this award of special honor is bestowed upon Elvis Presley and testimony, so-and-so, lifetime member.
So-and-so.
International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association. So I just got that.
Elvis, we didn't understand a word you just
what
said.
What did Elvis just say?
What the hell is that? What is this caterwauling now? What is that hillbilly saying up there?
So, I don't pay attention to rumors. I don't pay attention to movie magazines. They don't read them because they're all junk.
Speaking of junk, check out any one of my movies.
And
I don't
mean to put anybody's job down. I'm talking about they have a job to do, and they got to write something. So if they don't know anything, they make it up, you know. So in my case, they make...
Yes, Elvis!
Yes, Elvis! Yes. Please, more.
Get out. When I hear rumors flying around, I got sick in the hospital. Well, I was, you know,
you
in this day and time, you
hospital?
Can't even get sick. You are strung out. Oh, by God, I'll tell you something, friend. I have never been strung out in my life, except on music.
Yay.
There's so much feces in your colon right now.
You are impacted.
You probably took 120 pills in the last half an hour.
You're more pill than man.
When I got sick here in the hotel, I got sick here that one night. I had 102 temperature. They wouldn't let me perform. From three different sources, I heard I was strung out.
You
heroin.
Were, Elvis. You
I
are
swear
right
to
now.
God, hotel employees, Jack.
What are you going
to
do with us?
Bellboys.
Yeah?
Freaks that carry your luggage up to the room.
I'm not here to put anybody's job down.
But you're calling me a freak.
But these freaks that touch my luggage are a real issue.
What are you going to do about it?
People working around, you know, talking. Maids.
Yeah?
And I was sick. I was, you know, I was getting, had a doctor, had the flu. And I
Dr.
got
Nick,
over one
who was
day.
It Dr. Nick?
But all across this town, I was strung out. So I told him earlier, and don't you get offended, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to somebody else.
Yeah, me?
You know, actually, Elvis, you're talking to the ladies and gentlemen. You're on stage right now, Elvis. Are you aware that this is a performance you're giving?
If I find or hear the individual that has said that about me,
yeah,
I'm going to break your goddamn neck, you son of a bitch.
Oh, yes! 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 This is what we came for, Elvis!
More violence!
This is why we're here!
That is dangerous. That is damaging to myself, to my little daughter, to my father, to my friends, my doctor.
Dr. Nick?
To everybody in my relationship with you.
Is it
you,
Dr. Nick?
My relationship with up here on the stage, it is dangerous. I will pull your goddamn tongue out by the roots!
Yes!
Thank you very much.
Anyway. Thank you very much!
How many of you people saw the movie Blue Hawaii?
None of us!
No one!
Probably the most requested song. Let me get out of this mood.
Get out of that mood!
Get out of that mood, you drug addict! You fat addict! Get out of that mood and sing Blue Hawaii already! That's why we're here!
You're glorifying violence!
You'll be dead very soon!
Number three!
Three.
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 Fort Mill, South Carolina, man is trying to break a speed record for the world's fastest golf cart. This seems like a good idea.
Just asking for it. We don't have enough water crashes on golf carts as it is.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. You're going to buzz other golfers?
Now, he's trying to break the speed record. It's worth pointing out he already owns the speed record for the world's fastest golf
cart. Give it a break. Give it a rest.
Robbie Steen has spent the last 20 years going after world records. The strategy was to do this as publicity for his business. Now, he makes golf carts for a living.
Okay.
So I guess that makes sense. I mean, here we are talking about Robbie Steen's golf cart business.
They all go fast?
They can't all go as fast as this. What would you guess?
What does it do to the golf course?
Can't be great for it. What would you guess? Give me a serious guess here. What would you guess is the record speed for a golf cart?
80 miles an hour.
That's a very solid guess. The record that he set, and he hasn't done this, I guess, since 2014, and no one has thought to try and break the record. The all-time record for fastest golf cart, again, this was in 2014, 118.76 miles.
That's just crazy.
Oh, no!
Is anyone else allowed on the golf course at that time? You couldn't.
You would get from the turn to the clubhouse in 3 seconds. 118.76 miles per hour, and the goal is to go faster than that.
How could you even get up to that speed and still stop in time to play the hole?
How violently is the cart shaking when you're going that fast?
Right.
On grass, for crying out loud.
And on grass.
Yeah, he says, I can build them, but I just can't play golf.
Brother can't drive. And by drive, I mean drive a golf ball.
These are not for the average golfer. They are designed specifically for speed. The idea came to him in 2004. Take a golf cart from the putting green to the drag strip. They have been working in this family on golf cart motors for 46 years. The family business is called Plum Quick Motors, and they wanted to become more familiar with the public, so they came up with this idea of the world's fastest golf cart. Working and working and working, they believe that the golf cart that they're going to run later on this week will go at least 150 miles per hour. The current record is 119, just shy of 119. This golf cart, Steen says he believes it can go at least 150 miles per hour, which will certainly shatter his own world
Again,
record.
Again, are you allowed to have anyone on the course?
I think they're doing this on a drag strip, right? Just because of the... Well,
then
first
that
of all,
doesn't count.
First of all, they have the ability to accurately, you know, measure your time on a drag strip.
There are hills. there are dips, there are valleys.
Doing 150.
You'd be tossing. I tell you what, it would be like Super Dave Osborne. I mean, if you're just sitting in a typical golf course, yeah. A golf cart.
Yeah.
You'd be tossing bodies like nobody's business.
What are you doing? Wait a minute. What is that? What's coming up upon us? Oh, no. Oh, no. And once that thing gets airborne?
Yeah, it's never coming down.
No, it's not.
Right over the top of the clubhouse.
We've got your new Artemis rocket. It's this guy in his 150-mile-hour golf cart with a bump in it in the green.
I remember when the first job I had was at a golf course.
Yeah.
And we would get the golf carts out and try to do, like, Blue Angel stunts.
The average golf cart can go anywhere from 12 to 14 miles per hour.
Yeah, see, that makes more sense.
Honestly, 14 miles per hour
is pretty quick.
Kind of reckless.
Pretty quick.
Right? You're that close.
150.
You're that. You don't.
Can you imagine your clubs flying?
Well, especially if you've got one of those buddies that always does the trick where he lets the golf bag restraint loose right. When you pull away. If you do 150.
Classic.
it's just that good.
Yeah, but you would just basically be turning them into like swords.
Turns out
arrows being.
Turns out I impaled a bunch of people with my irons.
It went right through them.
Yeah, it wasn't.
The grips didn't even stop him. the grips on those irons didn't even stop it from going right through those people.
Oh no!
I tire of.
No, that's not gonna work out at all. Well, do you have a seatbelt on and a helmet? You've got to, like Super Dave Osborne it up a little bit, right?
Well, you'd have to be enclosed as well. You can't do 150.
Right, there's got to be some sort of roll cage on this thing.
Yeah.
He says here that speeding down the quarter mile in a vehicle designed for the slow drive from tee to green comes with inherent danger.
I bet it does.
Do you think? Steen saying here, quote, realistically, everything happens so quick, you really don't have time to think about it in the heat of the moment. His twin boys, who also helped build the speed machines, always join Steen at the drag strip. Jacob here saying, quote, this one is capable on paper of a lot more than the other ones have been. But it's if it will actually stay on the track. It might get airborne.
No plans to take it to the golf course. I don't know.
I wouldn't. For the most part, there's some excitement too, and it's kind of like a mystery. Even though we know what the cart is capable of, it's just that thrill of going to the track. People sharing in the thrill of the speedy golf carts. His videos of the super fast golf cart said to be a real sensation on YouTube. Steen has become a household name to the people of the Guinness Book of World Records. But he's just dad to his twin boys. Jacob says here, quote, I guess to me it was just like one of those normal things where it was like, this is what I've grown up with. Dad runs all this crazy stuff. But then you tell people about it and they're like, whoa.
Dad's always been a psychopath.
He also would like to break the record for the fastest power chair, fastest power wheels car, and the world's fastest lawnmower.
What about a rascal?
Oh, man. The world's fastest rascal? Now you're talking. Have you seen... I was downtown for the Beth show last week.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be damned if there wasn't some sort of rascal gang.
Mm.
There were like three guys on Rascals hanging out at the parking garage.
Not the Young Rascals.
No. It was something else. They were just kind of
putzing around and looking for trouble, it seemed like.
Looking for trouble. What yeah, do you, they, what they do had you a, got?
Exactly.
What was, are you guys rebelling against?
What do you got? Okay, so this is the golf cart. That seems a bit extreme.
A Fort Mill man will attempt to break a world record next week, the record for the fastest golf cart.
And the all-time mark for that speed is one he set himself in 2014, 118.76 miles per hour.
A golf cart. Queen City News reporter Brett Bald.
I'm not sure why the news feels the need to play Tracy Chapman underneath the story.
Get it?
Are you catching that?
Get it?
Fast Car is not a fun song. If you listen to the lyrics, it's... I get that.
Well, the fact that they're playing talking about a revolution
is. And now we're going to play Gimme One Reason.
Well, it burned rubber to introduce us to the speedster and his quest for golf cart immortality. Brett, good morning.
Good morning, Ann White and Jason. So, Robbie Steens spent about 20 years going after these world records.
His Tracy Chapman's father is an alcoholic who does not work for a living, she's in a loveless relationship. And now, on with our story.
The strategy was to gain publicity for his business, building electric motors for golf carts. He's got the recognition, but his need for speed remains.
I'll build them, but I just can't. I can't play golf.
The golf carts Robbie Steen gets his hands on aren't for the average golfer.
You could play golf.
You could. They're designed for speed. In 2004, the idea to take a golf cart from the putting green to the drag strip was born. Members of the Steen family are familiar with the machines. They've been building golf cart motors for 46 years. The Steens wanted their business, Plum Quick Motors, to become familiar with the public as well.
Me and my dad thought, you know, what better way than to race, you know, drag race a golf cart.
That makes total sense. You're not crazy at all. You're not even a little bit insane. High-speed golf cart. Here it is going down the drag strip. Oh, no. They've got to be wearing helmets, right? Because if one of these things...
And burn suits.
Look at this thing as it's taking off. Yeah, well, I don't know you can get burnt, really. How big's a gas tank on it? It's like a lawnmower gas tank, right? Taking off here, doing 118 miles an hour. The people at Plum Quick Motors. This is the fastest golf cart in the world. This is at the Darlington Speedway. He's got a helmet on. Someone's going to get killed. That's not a good idea.
Number four.
This woman in Pennsylvania is 99 years old.
Okay.
Her name is Marguerite Kohler, but everyone calls her Peg.
Okay.
So Peg's 99, and she just got to meet her 100th great-grandchild.
Oh, I did see something about this.
100th great-grandchild.
She looks pretty good for 99, doesn't she?
She sure does. And
I mean, she's still got dark hair.
Yes, she does.
I mean, maybe not naturally, but it doesn't.
Does it come from a bottle? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. Peg, known as Grandma to Christine Stokes Balster and her husband Patrick Balster, was ecstatic when she got to meet baby Kohler William Balster after his birth on August 4th.
What do you think the odds are she can name them all?
She's got 100 great-grandchildren. There's no chance she knows all of them. There's no chance. It's unlikely she's met all of them. People are probably all over the country, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but they probably have... They're going to make some sort of pilgrimage to make sure that they get her to see their child.
I guess that would be what I would do.
You don't think that... Now, I'm not talking about naming them off the top of your head.
But I'm just talking about
if I'm just talking about if you place somebody in front of her.
No,
name that.
That would be a great game show. Get this woman in a chair and just bring out children, and she has to guess whether or not they're her great grandchildren.
Yes,
I would watch that show.
Yes or no?
Is this your great grandchild? Yes or no?
Can we get her to sign up for a season of that?
Tell me you wouldn't watch that.
You know, and then we'll have the big extravaganza on her 100th birthday and we'll call it a season.
I think that is my grandson. No, you're wrong.
No, that's OJ.
No. I'm going to say you're not my great-granddaughter.
Ooh, sorry. You did not answer correctly.
No, that... You told me I was your favorite.
100. 100.
So she has 11 kids.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
56 grandchildren, and now 100 great-grandchildren.
Great-grandchildren.
Oh,
so, okay, so that even counts more. I thought it was just a 100, including... 100 offspring.
No, no, no. 11 kids, 56 grandchildren, and 100 great-grandchildren. So, apparently there were a couple of the grandchildren.
What's her name?
Peg.
Peg what?
Peg Kohler.
Where's Papa Kohler?
Well. It sounds like that this 100th great-grandchild was named after
Papa.
Named after her husband. I don't think Papa's around.
Papa had an insatiable appetite.
Yeah, Papa was a Rolling Stone. Well, that's...
A Papa liked a Papa.
Loves more than Mambo. Well, good for this family. That's that's terrific. To have more great grandchildren than you have years is something else.
Five.
Number five.
See a bunch of kids doing lemonade stands. Have you noticed that?
Seems
like there's been a real uptick in lemonade stands, and probably that's because the last two summers it wasn't the best idea to have lemonade stands.
Yeah, I still remember seeing the shopping cart full of. Lemonade mix from a few years ago.
Yeah, tell that story again.
Well, all it was, they had a bunch of cups. They had a bunch of cups and a bunch of dry lemonade mix, but it was like
Country Time lemonade.
And I would think that like one of those containers would make about, I don't know, how much.
That's your summer, one of those.
Like 6 gallons yeah. of lemonade or more.
Right.
And they bought like 20 of them.
Who are really going after it?
It was like, we are going to make this work.
This stand is
open. We are going to make this happen.
Because normally a lemonade stand is open for like 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, it's open for an hour until they realize no one's going to stop by.
Or they just get bored. Yeah
they're like done.
I sat here
mom,
for...
Hey, Mom, would you clean this up?
We're sat here for 3 hours and we made $6, which would be a great haul, that's frankly. Not,
no, $6 would be good.
Well, there's a story out of Everett, Washington... where this 11-year-old had his lemonade stand up and running, and a guy buys the lemonade with a $100 bill.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, gosh, mister, what do you want me to do?
Gee, mister.
He says...
just everyone gets free lemonade.
You would think, right?
But that's not the case.
Jeremy is this young man's name.
I'm going to shut you down. Here's $100. He's close. Cut the cord.
He's 11 years old, and apparently he has two different businesses. One is a lemonade and snack stand. This guy bought $20 worth of snacks and a drink with a $100 bill. So Jeremy used all the money he had to make change for this guy. The guy has his snacks and his drinks. He gives him $100. Off he goes. And then after the guy leaves, this 11-year-old kid named Jeremy starts to look at the $100 bill.
Wait a minute.
And he says, this isn't, this something's off about this.
Not so fast.
So he
takes...
You're going to use counterfeit money on a lemonade stand.
The $100 bill to a nearby gas station.
Take that, kid. What do you think of
and
that?
And the employee takes a look at it and he goes, yeah, kid, this is a fake $100 bill. What you have here is counterfeit. It's a forgery. The gas station attendant then calls the cops and they report everything that happened. Grown man stealing from an 11-year-old boy doing a lemonade stand and giving him a fake $100 bill. Here's the story from King 5 in Seattle.
Jeremy is a young entrepreneur. At 12 years old, he had a vending machine business, lawn mowing business, and snack stand.
I think that there's nothing in the world that is free.
3 weeks ago, Jeremy was in his usual spot on Beverly Boulevard, selling lemonade and snacks.
This is, okay, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a super busy street.
Yeah, it doesn't look that safe.
And this kid starts every morning off by making his own cotton candy? Okay, rein this in.
He says these two men bought $20 worth of drinks and food and asked if he could break a $100 bill. Jeremy used all the money he had to give them change. After they left, he noticed the money looked weird.
Yeah, okay. Also, It's very strange that a lemonade stand would have $80 in change on it, right? That's weird.
Yeah.
It looked like the numbers kind of look different and on each corner. And the $100 bill looked smaller, and the color was kind of different.
So he
and it had Mickey Rooney's face on it.
What is this? Mickey money?
Gas station.
I asked him, is it real or fake? He was like, no, it's not real.
The gas station worker then called the cops, and police are now looking for this man accused of giving Jeremy bogus bucks.
Exhausted from working all day on a sunny day and very, like... sad and like disappointed. Yeah.
Jeremy was.
Get used to it, kid.
Get used to it.
You got another 70 years of that, and then you'll be dead.
You're going to be disappointed in people? Yeah. Chas.
That's rough. So now they're looking for whoever did this. But this is where, again, now I feel like a cynical jerk. Because after this story makes the news, a neighbor wanted to help Jeremy, started a GoFundMe to raise $250 for this kid. She hoped to get enough money to replace the money that Jeremy lost, as well as a couple of extra bucks for this young business owner to expand his enterprise, right? One of these GoFundMes. This is a kid who has a bunch of businesses. $250. The GoFundMe is now over $25,000.
Okay, come on. People are out of control. The lesson that he learned was well worth that $80.
I'm looking here. The GoFundMe is at $25,830. That's, God bless this kid, but he doesn't need $25,000. He needs to learn how to spot counterfeit money. You're right. That was the lesson here.
Yeah, you need to get one of those markers.
But see, this is where
I don't take $100 bills.
This seems fishy to me.
It does.
Because now this kid is sitting on $25,000.
Who exactly gave you this $100 bill?
A man. The man. He walked away.
Is it a man that looks just like your father?
What's going on here? This is...
Yeah, we just basically set up a tug on your heartstrings scenario so that he can have a GoFundMe and make a bunch of money.
That's a lot of money. Don't they put caps on GoFundMe? Like once you've reached the goal, it should be done.
Yes.
If this story was neighbors pitched in and the kid got $250, I'd love that story. There's something about the fact that it's more than $25,000 that doesn't sit
smells
right.
Bad. It smells real bad.
Stinks to high heaven, Darren. Stinks to high heaven. I get that this is a sad story and this kid did not deserve to get played like this. But $25,000? I don't know, man. Something about this. Yeah, I'm calling it.
Yumbo alert. Mm-hmm. A Yumbo alert has been issued for this story. We will keep you posted if anything comes out to suggest that there's any sort of hanky and or panky going on. Someone's saying here, his stand was more than a lemonade stand. It was a full-blown front lawn snack stand. He was doing good business and had to change for 100. I'm doubtful this is a GoFundMe scam. Okay, you can be doubtful, and I hope you're right.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Oh, you're only marvelous. That was the Top 5 Things podcast from your pals Dave and Darren.
Thanks. Did you like it?
I got a kick out of it. Of course, I would.
Yeah, you really would.
That's the show. Hope you liked it. Thanks for downloading it, subscribing, and leaving reviews. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.